Author Art Spiegelman became a celebrity with Mouse, the comic book based in large part on his father's experiences in the Holocaust. It won literary prizes, has been published in dozens of languages. But Spiegelman's latest comic is having a harder time reaching readers. It's called In the Shadow of No Towers, and it looks at the world after September 11th, 2001. David Darcy reports.
In the Shadow of No Towers is filled with images of a transformed world. Art Spiegelman and his family outrun a white cloud. Demons fly in a red balloon above his son's bed as the boy has a nightmare about being trapped in a bombing raid on Baghdad.
I've been trying to fit this one panel in of these pigeons sitting around dazed on the ground, which is what we saw on September 12th and 13th. Every place we walked, there were pigeons who wouldn't flutter out of the way. They were just knocked out of the sky.
In a recent installment, the troubled author, drawn as a mouse, is slumped over his drawing table. Standing to one side is Osama bin Laden with a bloody scimitar. On the other side, George W. Bush points a gun at Spiegelman's head.
What I needed to do was try to understand September 11th so it would be for myself, so putting it in little boxes to organize the thoughts were good. And I guess my track record is such that disaster, war, horror seems to be a muse that comes and visits me. You know, like it makes me work in a way that some cartoonists I know are really moved to draw because they like the way cars look or drug experiences move them.
Spiegelman says it wasn't just the images in his head and his children's nightmares that haunted him. It was the sense that, as an artist and a storyteller, time was running out.
Thinking I was going to die that morning and really believing it made me realize that I should have made more comics, darn it.
The strip is autobiographical, with the author in his white shirt, vest, and cigarette, often alone, either forlornly protesting the war with a peace sign or just walking the streets. It's not a diary, but a self-diagnosis, taking his temperature, as Spiegelman puts it. It's also a return to the way that news was covered in the days before photography.
A photo is the equivalent of writing in the third person. So it has the voice of authority, but one has learned by reading fictions that those third-person accounts aren't necessarily objective accounts, they're just a voice. What it really does is it liberates artists to return to an earlier function that was their domain before the invention of photography, which was to, as Goya put it in his Disasters of War series, I saw this. That kind of visual witnessing was part of an artist's function.
This isn't Spiegelman's first experience with comics journalism. As an editor for the men's fashion magazine Details a few years ago, he assigned comics artists to cover surfing championships and war crimes trials. Joe Sacco, who had the war crimes assignment, also published comic books on Bosnia and Palestine. Kim Deitch is a veteran of the San Francisco underground comic scene, whose most recent book is Boulevard of Broken Dreams. Deitch made his journalistic debut at Details, covering an execution in Virginia.
The assignment initially was to see if we could get an interview with Charles Manson. And I just said, well, look, yeah, I'd do it, but A, it's been done before, and B, I mean, the guy's so reprehensible, I'd have a hard time just being in the same room with him, even with a big fat piece of plate glass between us. And I suggested that we do the Death Row story, and it was actually the other way around, where Art was going, you could do that? I couldn't do that. And I said, yeah, I could do that.
Details published Deitch's strip from Death Row, as well as several others. But Deitch says editors at the magazine decided it could make more money with stories about shoes and with pictures of women who weren't wearing much.
I'm used to being crowded out by sex. I mean, you know, back in the underground press, what killed us was suddenly when Screw and those papers came along. I mean, it just sooner or later, people come up to a new situation like that and suddenly see what, well, wait a minute, you know, it's actually the tits and ass that's really moving the merchandise here, and out we go again.
And Art Spiegelman found himself on the outs with the magazine where he was under contract and where his wife works as a picture editor.
David Remnick, the editor's response was, oh, it's very interesting, but it's too, pardon my Latin, it's too en medi res for us.
David Remnick, editor of The New Yorker, declined comment. It looked like deja vu all over again. In the 1980s, Spiegelman's book Mouse was rejected by 13 publishers before it found one and later won a Pulitzer Prize. Before Mouse was a book, the strip ran in Raw magazine, which Spiegelman and his wife Françoise Mouly published themselves. He took In the Shadow of No Towers to one of today's underground magazines, one that doesn't need to make a profit. World War III Illustrated was co-founded in 1979 by cartoonist Peter Cooper. Cooper, who makes his living drawing the Spy vs. Spy column in Mad Magazine, an AOL Time Warner property, pays none of his contributors, and prints an issue once or twice a year in a run of 3,500 copies.
There's a limited source of alternative media where you can say things that, you know, that will make people say, ooh, you're not allowed to say that. And that's not just by virtue of saying it because you're trying to get under their skin just for the sake of it, but because what you're saying is political, actually.
In the Shadow of No Towers was also rejected by the New York Review of Books. It is running in Die Zeit, a weekly newspaper in Hamburg, Germany, and in another half dozen European papers, and in The Forward, originally a Yiddish paper in New York that now publishes weeklies in Yiddish, Russian, and English. The demand for the strip, such as it is something of a victory now that Spiegelman can read it in English, or at least a victory for the credibility of comics like his.
If one accepts that visual matter lies, you might as well know where your lie is coming from. And you can recognize a voice, a visual voice, in the artist's hand, and therefore allow that to become part of the information you're getting. And in that sense, it may sound glib to say so, but if you know where the artist is coming from and what lies he's likely to make, you can distill more truth from the image that's not overtly, in that sense, objective.
A comic can be a credible messenger, but in Art Spiegelman's case, it's a message of doom.
And because I grew up with parents who were always ready to see the world grid crumble, when it started feeling that that was happening here and now, it wasn't a total surprise, you know? I think the one thing I really learned from my father was how to pack a suitcase. You know, it was the one thing he wanted to make sure I understood, like how to use every available centimeter to get as much stuff packed into a small space as possible. The ice might be thinner than one would like to think.
Art Spiegelman's comic In the Shadow of No Towers can be read in English in The Forward about once a month and in World War III Illustrated. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.
And this is Weekend Edition, directed by Sarah Beyer-Kelly and edited by Ed McNulty. The production staff includes Darcy Bacon, Charlie Mayer, Bridget McCarthy, Diana Douglas, Julia Holmes Bailey, Evie Stone, and Sasha Coca. Our technical director is Burke Hun, so ably assisted by Ted Mebane, Greg Gavin, Kimberly Jones, and Stu Rushfield. The senior editor is Gwendolyn Tompkins, and the senior producer of Weekend Edition is Peter Breslau. Scott Simon will be back next week. I'm Linda Wertheimer.